As much as possible, would you kneel with me? My dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you might be with us here this day and that thy spirit might reign here. I ask that you'd be with the speaker and that thy spirit would also be upon him. That you might give him freedom of thought and expression and help us that we might keep our ears open to hear thy message this day. I ask that you'd be with each one that meets this day in thy name, that thy spirit would be with them also. For we truly remember the promise that where two or three are met together, there will you be in their midst. So I pray that you might be with us this day. I ask that you bless the sick and afflicted, bless those that mourn for the loss of their loved ones and the tragedy that has happened in Mexico. I ask that you bless our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, that thy spirit would be with them, that you'd bless them physically and spiritually, that you'd help them in each of their needs. I ask that you might continue to bless the young people and strengthen them in this day, and that thy spirit would be with them always in the decisions of life they are making, and that you'd guide them, and that they'd lean on thee and learn to trust thee in their youth. I ask that you might continue to watch over Merle Darlington and lift her up, and also bless her family. Continue to bless Mom. I ask that you bless all those that are sick and afflicted and stand in need of our prayers. Ask that you bless each of the apostles and their families, that they might be able to be about thy work. I ask that you continue to bless Brother Kosnick and lift him up so that he might again be able to meet with us. I ask now and give thanks for the many blessings that you've given us. I ask that you forgive us where we've lacked. Help us that we might put aside those things in life that are displeasing, and that we might strive all the harder to walk in that straight and narrow path, and that we might firmly be grounded on that rock. So I ask now that you'll be with us, that you'll guide us today, and we thank you for the many blessings in life that you've given us, and ask that we might always remember to praise thee and to thank thee as we remember the covenant that we've made. These things I ask in the name of Christ, thy Son. Amen.
The man that's going to speak to us today doesn't need any introduction to any of us. But I hope the seriousness of this occasion and this time would be on each of our hearts, and that our prayers would be for him and for ourselves, that the message that he gives, that we might hear it in our heart. And each one that stands up here appreciates that. That we don't put our trust in them, but that we put our trust in our Heavenly Father that uses them. So I ask that you'd give him your careful and your prayerful attention, our Brother Gordon.
Before I begin this morning, there is an announcement that I should have had made, and that is we have some new booklets or pamphlets that our brother Don Hausnick, McIndoo, prepared. It is a pamphlet oriented to the Indian, and there are about 300 or 400 of them right now, but if there are those of that lineage that you would like to pass these out to, they will be available to each one of you, that you can give them if you feel the urge to do so. But let's be reminded that there are not that many of them, but they are oriented to the Indian themselves. We have another pamphlet that will be coming out, and it'll be more for just any individual who would like to learn or know more about the Book of Mormon. This morning I have not a new story to bring to you. It's something in which we're afflicted daily. It's something that we're all familiar with, and I just want to bring some of these things to your attention this morning. I'd like to start as my opening scripture on page 748 of your Book of Mormons. It is the Book of Ether in the fifth chapter, 748. It's a passage of scripture that I've used many times in the past. It's one that I can relate to. It's one that I think that each one of us needs to relate to and try and look within themselves. Starting with the 27th verse. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto you, unto the Gentiles, their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith and hope and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. The thing in which I want to for you to understand is this weakness. It's to our advantage that we might understand what he is saying here. When he refers to weakness, we were born in the flesh. The flesh, as the scriptures say, is corruptible, or it dies. And that there is in its contrary to God, in itself. There's weakness in the flesh. And because of that weakness, we then inherit weaknesses, being in the flesh. And that's important to understand. We have to come to that understanding first. The Lord promises that because of these weaknesses, and when we realize that, and when the Spirit of God works with us, and as we humble ourselves before Him, then He is able to teach us. Overcoming the flesh. Now, there's a lot of stress. If you just start looking through the scriptures, you find there's a lot of emphasis on that. I guess the biggest emphasis, it would be Christ's life. Why do you think he even came here on earth? It was to live in the flesh. Why? That he could prove or to show mankind that you can overcome flesh. Or that weakness within the flesh. Let's turn to the second book of Corinthians here. Or Corinthians the second. Starting with the 12th chapter. I'll read about 7 through the 10th verse. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now this is Paul speaking. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He had an affliction within the flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Those same words that we read in the Book of Mormon, actually in the Book of Ether. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then am I strong. And the reason why you're strong is that what do? When you realize that you're weak, you reach out for that help. What's that help? That is humbling yourself before God, asking Him that He might help you. And that's when you become strong. That's when you're starting to overcome the flesh. And that's why why he makes those remarks. You know, Paul... I relate with Paul a lot in the sense that he understood that war within the flesh, that daily war, I'm going to say, because it's something that will always be with you while you live in the flesh. In Romans, the 7th chapter, you're probably most familiar with these words. You've heard them before, I know. Starting in the 15th verse of the 7th chapter of Romans. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. And isn't that, there could be no more truer words than that when you think about it in your life. You know, you're in your mind, in your life, you want to do something, you know, for the Lord or whatever. And you have these great expectations of yourself, and then you find out you haven't done them at all. You know, you haven't done them at all. And then, boy, then you can feel yourself, you start to get depressed because you start reflecting on those things. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, again he's recognizing where that weakness is coming from, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, or to do that which would be wrong. But how to perform that which is good I find not. So that's a perplexing puzzle within Paul's mind. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Again, he's restating himself in that same position. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me, or that weakness within the flesh. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Evil is always present with him. And so it is with us in our lives. You know, when we'd want to do something good, or we perceive it to be good, the evil presence is there to try and discourage us, to lead us away in an opposite direction in which the Lord would have us to walk. But we got to understand that that presence is always there. And what does it play on? It plays on the flesh. On the feelings of the flesh, those things that are reality of the flesh. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, or the spiritual man. Each one of us, we haven't come this far without feeling the presence of the Spirit and delighting in that feeling, and then having the desire to follow after God. You are now here and have entered in that straight and narrow gate. And so did Paul as well. But he found that that war was still within him. He still had that conflict. Even though he was there on that straight and narrow path, that conflict was never gone. That war was always there. Evil was always present. Why? Because he was in the flesh. Now, I speak these things only that you would be aware that you're not odd, that you're no different than anyone else, that myself or Tom or any of us have these same feelings within us as the Apostle Paul, but that you should expect them to be there. But there's things that we can do to combat that. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Making that distinction between the two. The spirit and the flesh. Let's back up to the 1 Corinthians, which I want to use only as a reference to back up the statements that was read in the book of Ether. The first chapter in the 23rd verse, starting with the 23rd verse of 1 Corinthians. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, being that he chose man to carry his word to men, would be a good example of choosing weakness or weak things. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, just as he chose the house of Israel. Remember the Book of Mormon statement, there would have been no other nation on earth that would have killed their God except for the house of Israel. But there's many, many great promises to the house of Israel, the weak things of the earth. So I count myself the same thing as I have been chosen, being one of the weaker vessels, I feel. And I feel the same way even as Paul expressed himself, not worthy because of those weaknesses, but for a purpose, that I might testify and witness unto you that God can make weak things strong. On page 176, that is the book of Jacob. In the third chapter. Now I'm using this scripture to point out to you that you need to recognize your weaknesses. You need to recognize them. Nevertheless, the Lord God sheweth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescension unto the children of men, that we have power to do these things. And these things in which he was talking about were those great things in the seventh verse. The revelations, the spirit of prophecy, having all these things witnessed, obtaining a hope and a faith, all those great things where they could even command the mountains and the seas to be gone, and it would be gone. But it was in their weakness, or in the weak things of the earth. Again, another verse of scripture, and it's in page 749, to get emphasize 749. That's in the book of Ether again. To emphasize that we need to understand our weakness. The 37th and the 38th verse, and this would be to help us to not only identify that problem that we live in, but to understand that problem. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, if they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee. Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thy garments shall be made clean. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. Because Moroni was able to recognize his weakness within the flesh, and he humbled himself before God, that the Lord was able to use him in that work in which he called him to do. And he wanted him to recognize that. And so it is with each one of us. He wants us to recognize that. It's for our good. It's for our edification. Because once we recognize that, and if we really want to get help for that again, what would we do? We would come before the Lord, wouldn't we? Isn't that our only avenue that we have? The only other choice would be to ignore it and then walk opposite. But when you ignore a problem, it always comes back. Not cared for, many times it becomes stronger and more difficult to deal with. And then we start lying to ourselves to help satisfy that feeling. Well, I'm not weak. That's just a figment of my imagination. We put it away from us, and then we're not humble anymore. we find then we walk on a path that is opposite of the Lord. Page 556 in your Book of Mormon. That's in the Book of Helaman, the second chapter. This will back up my words concerning our weaknesses and where it would lead us if we followed that Spirit of the Lord. Starting with the 72nd verse. And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizram in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. So it's that attitude in which they had. They wanted to put that sin away from them. And so they were asking the Lord to help them with that. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins. And why? Because of repentance. Therefore he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation wherein, if men build, they cannot fail. So, once you have identified your weaknesses, or that you are weak in the flesh, and you have a little understanding of that problem, what does God expect of us then? And then how do we resolve this? Or how can we deal with this within our lives? And that one and most foremost would be the beginning of that foundation, which we just read about. And that is putting all our reliance in Christ. Now there's a few scriptures I'm going to bring forth to you now that will help us, if we remember these words that were written by the different authors. I feel inspired of the Lord. If we can apply them to our lives, it will help us in dealing with our weaknesses within our lives. Let's turn to Romans in the 8th chapter. Starting with the 12th to the 13th verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And the word mortify would be to control. Okay? To control one's physical desires and passions by self-denial. Or to be able to keep them in subject so they don't grow. Though that seed is there, and will always be there, it won't grow because it hadn't been watered and it hadn't been given sufficient oxygen and light and everything for it to grow. You have taken all those things away from it, though the seed is always there. Does that make sense? Again, in the book of Moroni, 7:7-7. Backs up the words of Paul. That's the last page of your Book of Mormon. Starting with the 29th verse. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. Mortify yourself for the deeds of the body, And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God. And this is through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father, and that is unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. Going back into the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. In the 27th verse. Now I like remembering this scripture. It's Paul knew what was expected of him being a minister. And you know, I always like to draw a parallel. If it doesn't fit in the sense of what the authors do, then I try to draw a parallel for myself. And the laity here, you try and draw a parallel as being one of the heirs to the kingdom of God. So that makes you special in that sense. Now draw that parallel. And when you witness to others, think about that as I read this scripture. I'll start with the 26th verse. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, or he mortifies the deeds of the body, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Can you draw that parallel for yourself? But if you were witnessing to somebody and you're saying, hey, you know, these are not things that you should be doing, make sure that you're not caught up in those things as well. That you yourself have been able to keep them in subject, or keep them as that seed tucked away and dealt with by the power of the Spirit of God. Again, another scripture that we can use or to be mindful of when, as we come across these difficulties of life, on page 446, which is the book of Alma, the 19th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. Now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins and go no more after the lust of your eyes. And this is the more particular thing in which I want you to be aware of. But cross yourself in all these things. For except ye do this, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Another word for mortify, but to cross yourself in all these things, or to deny yourself, or to keep them in the proper perspective, and not allow those things to grow and to prosper within your lives. These are Christ's words in 637, page 637 in your Book of Mormon. The Sermon on the Mount is words of wisdom, I feel. You know, and many times we need to be mindful of the words in which Christ spoke to bring them to our remembrance from time to time for our own edification and strength. Starting with the 78th verse. Behold, I give you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, that ye should be cast into hell. Again, another word for mortify or check, and that would be deny. to deny yourself, even though it would be something, you know, very easily to not to do because of that war within you. But you have to make a decision. You know, the more I read these scriptures and looked at them carefully, the more I understood this next scripture that I'm going to bring to your remembrance. It's in the book of Philippians, in the second chapter, starting with the 12th verse. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Oops. Let me scoot over to the second chapter. I was reading out of the first. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. The more I look at these scriptures, cross yourself, deny yourself, mortify the deeds of the body, all those things you have to do. You, individually, you have to do. You have to first understand it, then you have to start acting upon that. And that's why he said, work out your salvation in fear. You have to work at it. It doesn't come easy. Why? Because we live in the flesh. But we have hope that as we have been born in the flesh, which would be corruption, that we would be raised in an incorruptible state and to be with and in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. You know, that's something that thrills me when I think about that. It's something that I know is hard to understand at times. It is for me. But I know and I feel, and the Spirit bears witness within me. You know, that's what brings that excitement within my heart of things that are better beyond this world that we know. So that it lifts me out of those depths of despair at times when I feel, you know, this weakness of mine, I just can't go on anymore, you know. I'm going to read some scriptures concerning that as well. In James, 4th chapter, more words. I can get back here. The first verse of the 4th chapter of James. Maybe it's not. Well, I goofed up here. It's the 7th verse of the 4th chapter. There we go. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And why will he draw nigh unto you? Because he says that he is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in the spirit. And the only way to draw nigh unto him would then be to reach out to him in prayer in the spirit. Again, that would not be a function of the fleshly body. Christ recognized that war or the difference, the weaknesses within the flesh. even though this is maybe not the best reference, but let's turn to Matthew, the 26th verse, chapter, and the 41st verse. He's speaking to his disciples. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can we identify with that? He knew that struggle that goes on within us daily. One of the remedies in which he spoke of was to watch and pray. So we have to mortify those deeds, to check ourselves, keep them in subject, and now to watch or to be aware of. And how can we deal with it? Through prayer. The Book of Mormon says the same thing almost. In the 10th chapter, that's page 351, starting with the 27th through the 29th verses. And now, my brethren, I wish that the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that you would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. So that is our right, to ask the Lord that we would not be tempted beyond what we could bear. That is your right. And that we should be doing that. I remember Brother Ely brought those words to me a long time ago, and I try and remember to ask the Lord that he would do this for me. Something that we should have within our prayers, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble and meek and submissive, patient. And that patience deals with our weaknesses as well, not only patience with one another, but patience with ourselves. And to be able to endure that war that is within us, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that ye may be lifted up in that last day and enter into his rest. Continuing in Alma, the 16th chapter, on page 431, there's another example of how we should live that would help us to combat that, those things within our lives, starting with 237. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things, that you should work out your salvation with fear before God, again those words, and that you should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, that ye receive it and take it upon you, the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be in spirit and truth. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, or whatever circumstances you may be in, if you could remember those words, to humble yourself even to the dust and worship God in spirit and truth. And that you live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and the blessings which he doth bestow upon you. And I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptations of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. Behold, he reward you no good thing. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, again, to have patience with yourself, that ye bear with all manner of afflictions, that's dealing with you as an individual, that you do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest you become sinners like unto them, but that you have patience and bear with those afflictions with a firm hope that you shall one day rest from all your afflictions. Again, that patience deals with you as an individual. And that patience would come with the understanding of that hope, that there is a life that is a lot better than this life, something that we can't even imagine, as the scripture says, the marvelous things that will be waiting for those who are able to endure. Page 552, going back to the book of Helaman. Here's an example of the people that took the word of God and ran with it, so to speak. And this is what you can expect. Each one of you can expect this in your life. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the fulfilling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification, or made free from sin, that's what that means, of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. So there would be your relief and your strength both. In the book of Alma, in the third chapter, that's page 315. Alma, who is the son of Alma, is speaking here. And he's speaking to the church, or those of the brethren, as he says. Starting with the 27th verse. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you been spiritually born of God? Have you received His image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God? To be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body or in the flesh. I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. You know, as I think about it, these questions which he put before the people of the church, I think those are questions that we should maybe write down and keep with us and read them from time to time and ask ourselves in a very sincere way. Each one of those questions. And to be truthful with ourselves. And if one of those questions may be in question, now is the time to deal with that. Not when we go into the grave. Now is our hour of salvation. Now is our day of probation. That's why he spoke to the people, the brethren of the church. And there's nothing wrong to say, I don't meet up to this. What's wrong is to say and to lie to yourself and ignore it. That's what's wrong. No matter how bad you feel about yourself, no matter how deep you've got yourself into trouble, No matter how big that seed is grown into a huge tree, now is the time to be truthful with yourself and humble yourself in prayer and in fasting to chop that tree down and to purge those garments of the stains so that when you get to that position, when you stand before your Heavenly Father, He can say unto you, "Come unto me, ye blessed. For behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth." Thank you.
We each keep these thoughts. My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that we spent here this morning and for the message that was given. I pray that we might truly look in our lives and pull those weaknesses that we have, put them at thy feet, that we might humble ourselves before thee and that we might truly be made strong. Help us that we might look within ourselves and that we might strengthen ourselves against the days that are ahead, and against the time when we must come home to thee. I ask that you might continue to bless us this day, that our thoughts might be with thee and with thy goodness. Be with each one that travels in the missionary field, that thy spirit will continue with them. I ask that you'll continue to bless the sick and afflicted. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us and for this land of freedom. Help us that we might ever serve thee and praise thee for the things you've done. These things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.